Begin the current daf Masechet Rosh Hashanah daf Chav Gimel. Begin 10 lines down from the top of the Yomid, where the Gemara continues explaining the Mishnah for the previous daf. Now, as we mentioned in previous Mishnayos, that on certain months, Shluchim, messengers would go out from the Bezn HaGadol in Yerushalayim, that decided when's going to be the beginning of the new month, which is based on when the new moon is seen, either day 30 or 31 from the previous month. And then we'd send out messengers so that the people in the diaspora who don't live around Bezdin could know which one was the day that Rosh Chodesh started, to know when the Yom Tovim or the different fast days are in that month. Now, the Mishnah in the previous daf said that originally they didn't have to send out messengers because those in the diaspora, specifically those in Bavel, there was a different way that they could get the message to them right away. And that is, they would be Masid Masuis, they would take up torches from starting from Har HaZeisim, going through different mountains, all the way till Bavel, and then the whole Bavel would get the messages straight from them. But the problem was that the Kutim started interfering with those messengers, and they would put up torches at times when it wasn't the case, thus confusing the people in Bavel when it was the appropriate time, and therefore they couldn't use that sign anymore, and they had to go ahead and do personal messengers going all the way out to the diaspora. Now, on that, the Mishnah explained, which our Gemara quotes, how would they go ahead and light these torches on the mountains? So the Mishnah told us that they would bring these poles of, as the Mishnah says, of Erez. Now, on that, our Gemara expands on this topic about the Arazim, how many types there are, what are they, these different types of wood. So Amar Rav Yehudi says, Dalad min Arazim. Actually, there are four types of this Erez wood. There's Erez, Kasroim, Eitz Shemen, Uvereish, which the Gemara explains. Kasroim is a machlekes. Amar Rav, he says it's Adra, which this tree is mentioned in Masechet Beis, after Zvav Mabez, where at certain times someone should plant this Adra tree. The Beir Shila Amri, they say it's Mavliga. Vamrilan, some say Zu Gulmish is Gulmish. Now, the Gemara tells that Upliga, that this statement of Rabbi Huda that says that there's four types of Arazim, argues on the Rabbi Bar Rav Huna. Because the Amr Rav Huna, Amr Bei Rav, they said in the Yeshiva of Rav, that Asar Min Arazim, there's actually 10 types of Erez, of this species of Erez, of that type of a tree. Something like it says in Pasuk in Yeshaya. It says, Etim Bamidbar will place in the desert Erez, Shita, Vahadas, Ve'et Shemen. And Asim Barava will put it in the wilderness, Bereish, Tidar, Usa Asher, Yachtav, all these together. Now that the Gemara explains, what are these items? Erez is Arza, that's the cedar. Shita is Turnisa, that's pine. Hadas is Asa, that's the myrtle. Eit Shemen is Afarsama, that's balsam. Bereish is Barasa, that's boxwood. And Tidar is Shaga, that's fir. So Asher is Sharivna. And those are the items of the Erez that there are. So he argues on not that there's four, but actually that there's 10. To which the Gemara asks, the pasuk you just quoted, Hani Shivahava, that's 7. How do you have 10? So that the Gemara says, Ki Asra Avdimi Amor, and Avdimi came, he said that Hisifa Aleim, they added on to those 7 in the pasuk to make for a total of 10, Aleinim, Almainim, and Almoigim. Which the Gemara explains, Aleinim is Butmi, that's elms, Almainim is Balute, that's oaks. And Almugim, that's kasisa, that's coral. Now, Rashi explains, actually, coral is not really a tree. It just is like a tree when it comes up from the seabed. It has that formation like a tree. That's why it's being called from the 10 types of Erez as like a type of a tree. Igadam, those that say that the extra 3 that they added on to make for a total of 10 Arazim is Arainim, Armoidim, and Almugim. Which the Gemara explains, Arainim is Are, that's laurels. Armoidim is Dulvi, that's chestnuts. And Almugim, that's kasisa, that's coral. Now, on that we just quoted regarding this discussion of the Mishnah, because that's what type of poles they would make it out of Erez. So he said that either there's 4 types or there's 10 types of it. So the last one that we just quoted of coral, the Gemara brings a pasuk in Yeshaya, Vitzi Adir lo yavirena, will not be able to get through, which is a reference to that stream, which will start from the Kodesh HaKodeshim and will come out from the Beis HaMikdash and will get stronger and stronger, that even a Tzi Adir will not be able to get through. Some Rav explains what's the other Zuburni Gedela. That's a mighty large ship, which even that won't be able to deal with these mighty stream that's going to be coming out of the Kutchikutchin. Now, that the Gemara asks, Heichi Abdu, what purpose, what is the Burni Gedela? Why would people have these large ships? What utility do they have? Which we're saying even those large ships won't be able to pass through that stream that's going to be coming out in the future because it's so mighty the waters. So now the Gemara explains that Maisu Shis Alfe Gavri, they would bring 6,000 people, Betresa Yarchishata, for a period of 12 months. Bamrila, some say actually it was Tresa Alfe Gavri, 12,000 people, Beshita Yarchishata, in six months. Now what they did was as follows. Betanu Lochala, they would pile up sand onto these large ships. Ad Shachna, until the bottom of the ship would then sink down to the seabed, where you could still see the top of the ship above the sea level, because the places where these corals are in the sea, the water is not so deep over there. So then Benachas Bar Maroi, now that the ship went now down to the bottom of the seabed, then they would have someone that would know how to swim down to the bottom of the ship. V'kater atuni dechisna. Then he would go ahead and tie these strings, these threads from linen, which doesn't easily come undone, and he would tie one end of it bechsisa on the roots of this coral. V'kater lo besvinta, and then he would tie the other end of those threads onto the ship. Then v'natli. Then those either 6,000 people or 12,000 people then take the challah, they would take the sand from the ship, the shod liver, and they would throw it out from the ship. Now, bekama demalaya, now as it's coming up from the water, because as they're taking out the sand, so then it takes away the weight from the ship and it's coming up, akramasya, so it pulls out the roots of the coral from the ground and it brings it up. And that's how they're able to, that's the purpose of these ships, these large ships, to then fill it up with sand to make it weigh down and then to tie it onto the coral and then be able to pull it up slowly as it comes out. Umachlif al-Khatrain Bakaspa. Now the coral was so precious that one piece of coral would have its weight in the same as two pieces of silver. Now, Tlas Parvasahavin, there were actually three ports that Tarti Be'armoy, two of them were by the Armenes, V'chadu de Be'Persa, and one by the Persians. Now the Be'armoy, Maskin Kesisa, by the ones of the Armenes, they would pull up coral, which was precious, and the Be'Persoi, Maskin Marginiyasa, and the one by the Persians, they would pull up the pearls, and that was also from the seabed through the deep sea divers. Now in Makaria, they would call the port of the Persians Parvasa de Mashmehig. This one where they would pull up the pearls, they called it the port of the kingship. Now the Gemara continues regarding the pasuk that we brought before. So Amar Rabbi Yechon, he says, Kalshita Veshita, all these pines, Shenatlu Nacham Yerushalayim, that the non-Jews took from Jerusalem, Asra Kadosh Baruch Hu Lachzirin Lach. Kadosh Baruch Hu ultimately returned it to the Jewish people. Shnem, like it says in that pasuk that we quoted before, Etin Bamidbar, I will place in the desert, Erez Shita, so those regarding the pines. Now, Ve'in Midbar El Yerushalayim. The term desert is a reference to Yerushalayim that Hashem will Etin will put it, not that Hashem will plant it, He will give it, meaning that He'll be returning it. Shnem, like it says in the pasuk Yeshaya, Tzion Midbar Hayasa, that Tzion, reference to Yerushalayim, was a desert, so therefore when it's saying that Hashem will give back, he's saying what was taken away by the non-Jews, Hashem will return that. Now, V'amar B'yechon says, related to this about a midbar, he says, Kol alaymid Torah v'ein malamda, whoever learns Torah and doesn't teach it, doim alahadis b'midbar, he's like a myrtle in the desert, which means say that no one's getting any pleasure out of him. It is a beautiful hadas, but it's out in the desert. Ikidami, let's say a different version of this, that Kol alaymid Torah, whoever learns Torah, u'malamda b'makam sh'ein tamid chacham, and he teaches Torah in a place where there's no Talmudic scholars, Daim lahadis b'midbar, he's compared to a myrtle in the desert, the chavav, that it's precious, because there's nothing else around there, he's the only myrtle, and therefore he's worth his weight in gold, because there's no one else here to teach Torah, and he's teaching, so that is a beautiful thing, because what would the desert be like without that one myrtle? From Rabbi Yechon, another statement from Rabbi Yechon, also related to this idea about replacing, as we said, but regarding the pines that were taken away, they'll be returned. So he said, "Oy lehem lo evdu gacham." Woe to the idol worshippers. She'ein lehem takana. There's no way that they could fix what they've done wrong to the Jewish people. Hashem, like it says a pasuk in Yeshaya, Hashem says, "Tachas and nacheshes, in place of the copper that the non-Jews took from you. So avizav, I'll bring the gold. V'tachas arbazel, in place of the iron that they took. Avi kesel, I'll bring silver. V'tachas aitzim, in place of the wood that they took from the Jewish people. Nacheshes, I'll bring copper. V'tachas avon, in place of the stones, barzel, I'll bring iron. I'll be able to even give you back better." However, Tachas Rabbi Kiva v'chaveira, but in place of Rabbi Kiva and his friends who were murdered by them, Ma'amavin, what could we bring? Ba'alem huayim, and regarding that, it says in the pasuk in Yoyal, Hashem says, v'nikesi, that if I'm going to come to cleanse and forgive the non-Jews, the idol worshippers, from their sins, that I could do. But damim l'nikesi, but the blood of those murdered, the Jewish martyrs that were murdered by the idol worshippers, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I will not cleanse. Now the Gemara continues explaining our mission that said, "Uma'ayin ha'mesin masuas." Now, where was it? What were the locations of the mountains that they would hold up these torches? So it said it started by Har Hazeis, and we go to Umi Beis Balsan, and from Beis Balsan. Now the Gemara asks, my base of Alson, what's this place, the last mountain they would have? Amar Rav, so Rav says, we continue on Tamid Beis, Zu Birim, it's a reference to Birim. Now the Gemara asks, my Goyles, so it says that the one who would be at that last location, he wouldn't have anyone else. He would just wave up and down, to and fro, until he saw that the entire diaspora was lit up. So the Gemara asks, what's that reference to the diaspora? So Amar Rav Yosef, Zu Pumbedisa, it's a reference not to the entire bubble, but to Pumbedisa, and once it got to Pumbedisa, that was that they would have to get this transmission all the way from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. Once it got to the first location of Pumbedisa, then they would let everyone else know. Now, my Kamadura says, what does it mean that he would see the entire Pumbedisa lit up like one big bonfire? So Tana, we learn the Braisa. What that means is, every single homeowner would take a torch in his hand. He would go up to the top of the roof. And that's where the whole Bavel, the whole Pumbedisa was lit up like for him. And then he knew they got the message. And then they were able to tell all those in Bavel when was the day of the Rish Chedesh. Now, Tanya, learn the Braisa that Reb Shimon Laza Omer, he says, Av Charim v'Chayer v'Geder v'Chavrisel, all these other locations, they were also places where these were mountains that they would also hold up these torches. Now, Ikadam, those that say regarding what Reb Shimon Laza was saying, is that Beini Beini, in other words, between the mountains which are mentioned in our Mishnah, Havakaimi, that's where there were these mountains that which are mentioned by Reb Shimon Laza, that they were also, so along those route, that route, was these other mountains Reb Shimon Laza saying that they also would pick up, but it was that same route. Ikadam, those that say, that no, lahachki said the Eretz Yisrael havakaimi. It was actually on the other side of Eretz Yisrael, meaning there were two sides of Eretz Yisrael which one could take from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. The ones in our Mishnah is mentioning one side, as the Gemara tells us that marchash of the high gisa or marchash of the high gisa. The time of Mishnah is mentioning one way, and Shem Elazar was mentioning another way, but it's not the ones in between. It's just a different route to get there. Another statement from Rabbi Yechanan says that bein kol achas va'achas, between every one of the mountains which are mentioned in our Mishnah, was shmoyin the parsois. It was a distance of 8 parsois. Kama havlu. So what's the total of that? A tlos and matart, and that's 32, because between the 5 mountains are 4 roots, which is, each one is 8, so 8 times 4 is 32. That the Gemara asks, but v'idin atuba havlu, we see that today, to get from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, is more than 32. So how could it be 32 parsois? So Abai says, istatume istatum luhu drachi, that today, after the Churban, then the roads have been blocked up, and that is the only way people get is by going in a circuitous way, going not in a straight way. That's like it says the pasuk in Hosea, "L'chein hinini sach is darkech basir." Behold, therefore I'm going to close your roads with thorns, which means to say that you're not going to get there in a straight way. That's why it's much longer today. Nachmitzchus Hachi says from a pasuk in Tchsivit, "In Eicha nisivoysai iva, that my paths he may twisted, and that is, we can't go straight anymore, and that's why it takes longer, but a direct path would be 32 parsois. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again, continuing on this theme about Kiddush HaChodesh, and specifically on Shabbos, when they would come and be able to Mechal Shabbos, to come out of the Tchum, to say the Eidus that they saw the new moon. So the Mishnah tells us, Chatzar Gedoy L'Heisib Yerushalayim, there was a large courtyard in Yerushalayim, Ubeis Yazik Heisen Nekres, it was called Beis Yazik, and the Gemara will define the term, why it was called that. Ulasham Kola Eid Wisconsin, that's where all the witnesses that were coming to say this new moon, that's where they would gather on Shabbos, who they had to be Mechal Shabbos to come and to say the testimony because they came out of the Tchum. Now based in Baitkin Isim Sham, and in that courtyard was where Bezdin would check out all the aides to see if what they're saying is true. Usuudis Gidelis Islam, they would make large festive meals for them over there. And the reason is as an incentive, Bishvilshi Rugun Lava, so that they should come on Shabbos from out of the Tchum. Now, Birshayna, originally, the people would not be able to leave from that courtyard the entire day of Shabbos. And the reason is because they came from out of their tchum, out of the boundaries how far a person's allowed to walk on Shabbos. And the halacha is, whoever comes out of his tchum is not allowed to go more than Dalai Lama. So although we allow them to do that because it's necessary, and we actually learn that from a pasuk, but now there's no more reason. Once you did your testimony, so now you're stuck. However, Hiskin Yomimlil HaZakan, Shiyu Mahalchen Apayim Amlechol Rach. Now, although you're allowed to go throughout the entire Chatzar, it's considered the Dalai Lama's, he instituted that they're allowed to go actually 2,000 Amas in every direction. And the reason is because if they're going to be limited in Dalai Lama's, then they might not come again. And similarly, below El Buvad, not only these people that come to say the testimony has that halacha, that once they do their mission, which we allow them to go out of the Chum, that they could have even 2,000 Amas, it's also Ela'af, it includes these other individuals too. A chachama habo l'yelet, a midwife that comes to help a woman give birth. V'habo l'hatzlam, someone that comes to save min hadleka, from a fire, min agayis, from different bandits. Umenanar, and from a river, where, for example, if let's say there was a, if the waves just came in and swept up all the people of the city, a large tidal wave, or the children, and it's coming to save people, or in a palis, or from a building that collapsed, Hare Elu Ka'anshi, we consider these people, although they came from Adutchum, and for that we allow them to, let's say, save people, which is a mitzvah, and they're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos, but even after that's done, we give them the halacha like the people of the city, and therefore they have 2,000 amas in every direction from the city ends, where the city itself is considered like Dalet Amas. They could even have 2,000 amas past that. They're not limited to the halacha of Dalet Amas. Now the Gemara asks, as we alluded to in the Mishnah, Yibailu, they had the following question. Beis Yazik Tanan, this place where they used to gather, this big courtyard, was it called Beis Yazik or Beis Yazik Tanan? Or was it called Beis Yazik? Which, as the Gemara explains, Beis Yazik Tanan, that was the term Yazik, which Lishnam Al-Yuhu is a, it's a good term. The Chassid, like it says, the Pasuk in Yeshaya, Vayazkehu. What Yazkehu means to say that they surrounded them with a wall of stone around and around in a circle, like a ring, which is what the term Yazkehu is, which is what this term of this Chassid Gedel was called, Beis Yazik, because it was surrounded with walls. Vayisaklehu, and then they took out the stones, which that's in the Pasuk in Yeshaya. So therefore, it's a good term. It's just defining the courtyard. Idilma beis yaziknan, or maybe the word is yazik, lishna did sa'aruhu, it's a term of pain, which is that because since they're locked in, like as if with what's called bezikin, with chains, because they can't move from there the entire day, like it says the pasuk in Yirmiyahu, but who asr ba'zikim, that he's locked up in chains because they're stuck over there. So what was it, beis yazik or beis yazik? So Abaye says, Toshima, come in here from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says that Sudis Gedoilis Hayu Eisen Hamsham, they would make these large festive meals for all the people that they would come over there, Kadeshiru Gun Labi, so that they should be accustomed to come. So obviously they weren't in pain. It's like Kiddush the entire day. So what's the problem? And the Gemara says, no, it's not a riot. Maybe they were both. There were two emotions going on at the same time. On the one hand, they were happy because there was this large festive meal the entire day, but they were still in pain because they felt locked up. So it's not contradictory, and therefore it could be Beis Yazik because they felt like they were locked up in chains that they couldn't move out the entire Shabbos from this courtyard. Nothing more continues with the next Mishnah, which goes into the actual process of how they would go ahead and investigate the Eidim to see if what they're saying is true, if this was actually the new month that they saw. So the Mishnah says, Ketzad Boitkin this Eidim, how would they investigate the Eidim, the witnesses? So it tells us the Zug Shabbat Rishon, the peer of witnesses that came first, but Knesset Rishon, that would be the first peer that they would check out. So they would take one of the peer at a time. So they first brought in the greater one of the two. And they would tell him, Emer, Kitzad Rishon, want to tell us, how did you see the new moon? Was it Lefne HaChama or La'ach HaChama? Was it before the sun or after the sun? Litzvayna or Ledrema? Was it to the north of the sun or to the south? Now Rashi gives an introduction and he says, that the path of the sun, at least how it seems to us on earth, is always going from east, but it doesn't go just from east straight to west. It goes from east, and it takes this angle to south. From south, it goes to the west, and from the west, it goes to the north, and that's where it sets at nighttime. As Rashi quotes a pasuk in Kehelet that says, Hoylech el darim, although it starts in the east, but it goes to the south, v'soyvev el tzaf, and it goes around to the north. Now, the moon itself is not visible on day 30. It would only be visible near Shkiyas HaChama, near sunset. And the reason is because at that time of the month, which is right by the Mailid, it's very thin and small, and therefore it's not visible because it's so small and the sun is so strong, so it could only be visible right by Shkiyas HaChama when the sun is setting, so then it's not, you're not seeing the sun anymore, and then you can catch a glimmer of the new moon. Now, Rashi says from the fact that one of the questions that were asked was not, did you see the moon to the east or to the west of the sun? So obviously, as Rashi is proving, it could only be seen when it's in the south. Now, Rashi says the assumption of the Gemara, which the Gemara is going to ask, was that they would ask the witnesses, did they see the moon going before the sun or behind the sun? And was it to the north of the sun or was it to the south of the sun? Now, the Gemara is going to ask, based on this introduction that Rashi just said, that saying it's before the sun would mean it's to the north. Because as we said, the way it sets is it goes starts on the east, goes to the south, goes to the west, and then sets, it goes on this angle, and then sets in the north. So if it's in front of the sun, which means say that it's setting before, that means it's to the north. So therefore, it's not a, and the reason how Rashi proves is because it's not appropriate to ask if something is in the north or the south, if they're both, if the both are talking about that the sun and the moon are in the west. As Rashi explains, because it wouldn't be appropriate to investigate and ask the Edim if it was to the north or to the south of the sun, only if both the sun and the moon were in the west. Because if they would both be in the south, then you can't ask, was it to the north or to the south? Rather, your question then would then be, well, because they're both in the south, it would rather be, is it to the east or to the west? Now, therefore, Rashi says, since that when they're both in the west, as we said, the question of Lefnei HaChama essentially would mean that it's to the north of it. And that's because, as we said, because when it sets, it goes to the north. And if the question if it's behind it would be towards the south, that's going to be the Gemara's first question, that it seems to be that these first two questions are essentially the same question, because as we said, that in front of the sun, again, that's the time period of when it's just the glimmer, it's going to be right next to the sun, and it's going to be right by Shkiyas HaChamash. The question is before or after is the same, is it to the north or to the south? The next question they would ask was, Kama Hayu Gevaya, how high from the ground would you estimate was the moon? Ula Ayin Hayu Naita. Now, which direction was it facing? What that means is that the moon is the shape of a crescent when it's in different gradations, but especially when the new moon is starting, which is what they're asking, what they're attesting that they saw. So then there is the points of the crescent which stick out. Which direction was that facing? Was it facing towards the north or was it facing towards the south? Bekam ha'irachav, how wide was it? Was it one finger? If you put up your fingers, was it two fingers width? Im amal lefnei hachamah, then the Mishnah concludes regarding these questions. If the Edim say that it was before the sun, then lo maklum, then he hasn't said anything. Which I'm going to explain what exactly does it mean that it was before the sun, and why, if someone says that, will it not be considered as anything, and therefore we'll discount these Edim. Then ma'achkechoy mechnis nesasheinu b'it nesah. Then they would bring in the second one of the two witnesses, and then they would investigate him. If they found that their words matched up, then their testimony is valid, and then they would go ahead and be mekadesh l'chodesh beitzin. But first, ushar kol hazugos, they would, all the other peers of Edom that came, shoylin oisin rashi dvarim, they would go ahead and ask them the rashi prakam, as it's called, just the main topics. They wouldn't go into great detail, and as because lo yishay tshichim hem, it's not that they needed them anymore because they already verified from the first peer. They shouldn't go out all upset because they want them to come. If we're not going to need them, they say, what I come? I came for nothing. So therefore, we go through every single aid that they shouldn't be all upset, and then they go ahead and do Mekadosh L'Chodesh. Now, the Gemara asked, as we already had mentioned this with Rashi in the Mishnah, that Hainu Lefnei HaChama, saying, did you see the moon before the sun, is essentially saying, Hainu L'Tzvayna, is saying, is it to the north? And same Hainu L'Achachama, saying, did you see the moon behind the sun? Which means to say that the sun first set, and then right after the moon set, is Hainu L'Drayma, that's to the south. And therefore, it's essentially the same thing. Why is this two different questions? If we're saying that the route it takes, it goes from the east to the south, to the west, and then sets in the north. If you're saying that it was before the sun, so it set before, that's L'Tzvayna, and we're saying it set behind it, so that's L'Drayma. So Abaye Abaye explains that this term of Lefnei Achama L'Achachama means something else. You're right. Before or after is really the question of the north and the south. He says what we mean is pigimasa. We mean to say that the deficient part of the moon, as we said, that it starts off in a really thin crescent in the beginning, was that lefnei hachama? In other words, was the deficient part facing the sun? Or was it facing the other direction? And that is only the part that it's not deficient is facing the sun. Now, it's regarding that question that the Mishnah concluded by at the end that im amr lefnei hachama, if the Edom say that the deficient part was facing towards the sun, then lo yimaklum, he hasn't said anything. And that's because, as the Gemara will explain, that the sun never saw, never does see, the deficient part of the moon. Like Rabbi Yechon said, Maidach said, what does it mean in Pasuk in Iyov that says, Hamayshul v'fachrimay, the ruler who has dominion and the dread is with him, if he makes peace in the heights. So what does that mean? That the sun never saw the deficient part of the moon, meaning the moon, where it is in relation to the sun, will always have the full part, which means say the rounded part, not the deficient part, facing the sun. And neither has the sun seen the deficient part of the rainbow, that is, rainbow is also that shape, and it also has not seen its deficient part. As the Gemara explains, Pigimasa Shalavana, the deficient part of the moon, the Chal Shadaite, because then it would have, so to speak, a Chalisha Das, it would feel inferior to the sun that it's seeing its deficiencies. which no one wants that to be seen. And that's why Hashem is Isa Shalom B'mraimav, that it never sees its deficient part. Pigimasa Shokasha is the deficient part of the rainbow. The reason why that's never facing to the sun is we don't want the idol worshippers, those that specifically serve the sun, we don't want them to say, and we continue on Tabach of Dalman Alf, that Giri Komashadya, that the sun is shooting arrows to fight those who deny its dominion, that it's the ruler over the world. And the reason is because someone that shoots an arrow, so when he takes the bow, it's the empty part of the bow that's facing towards him, with the edges are facing towards him, and the circle part is facing outward. So therefore, we don't want the keshes to be facing, because then it would, so to speak, look like as if the sun is shooting with a bow and arrow those who deny it, to say that, oh, the sun is the god, and therefore we never have it, we have it facing the other way, so that they can never say such a claim. But again, that's why Eisit Shalom B'mraimav, and that's the idea, the question of Lefnei HaChama La'achar Chama, was in regards to the direction of the moon in relation to the sun itself. That's the question of Letzvoyna Uledraima. Here the question is, whichever direction it is, was the deficient part facing the sun, or was it the deficient part facing the other direction? That's what we say in the Mishnah, that if they ever say that it's the deficient part that's facing towards the sun, we know they're liars, because that's never the case, because as the Gemara explained, we don't want it to be that the sun should see the deficiencies of the moon.